Who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
One of us talks first.
Okay.
On this small episode of Digital Bath Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Bath Podcast, where four close friends enjoy a few adult beverages while enjoying all things nerdy. I'm your host for this evening, Jesse, and I'm joined by the one and only Nick Mini Fridge.
Hi.
And then we got...
Ghost Chris.
Ghost Chris. And then we got...
Ghost Dakota. Yeah.
How you guys doing? Doing all right. Yeah. Anyway, it's just Nick and I tonight. Talking about bite-sized gaming, so let's get into it. What do we mean by that?
I feel like you're taking a shot at me because I'm short, and I'm a little offended.
Look, good things come in small packages sometimes, man.
Oof, careful what you say about small packages. You could offend people, like Ghost Chris and Ghost Dakota.
They ain't here to defend themselves.
That's the best time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, bite-sized gaming, I mean, think about it. You don't have a lot of time. You got kids, you got work, you got everything else going on, and you just don't have the time you used to game. I'm talking to you, Blair.
Damn. Call them out.
Yeah, but there's games out there that are perfect for that, where you can just kind of sit down, turn it on for a good 15 to 30 minutes at most, get a round in, whatever it might be, and enjoy yourself for that short amount of time that you may have.
Enjoy it.
Always enjoy
it. We're going to bring you a little serving, a little quick soft serve of some bite-sized games.
I like that, a soft serving of game.
Mm.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had soft serve in a while.
It's really good. You can go to Dairy Queen. It's literally like down the street.
Yeah, but you know my dairy thing lately? It's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, let's clink these drinks real quick.
Okay, sounds good. I'm not a clink. I'm more of a... I'm the good...
Clink it and I don't know what we'd call
that. Well, we'll clink it and it... You can't hear that because it's a can
clink
on a...
Clink it and sink it.
Sink it.
Mmm.
Oh, you know what? That's not bad. Blackberry spiked seltzer. From Austin, Texas, 5% alcohol per volume. Gluten-free! Fuck yeah.
There you go, you gluten haters.
I'm not a hater. Yeah. I love gluten.
You're a glater.
Glater?
All right, let's get into it.
All right.
I'm going to bring one of my most beloved games of all time. It's a little game called Peggle.
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 You like getting peggled?
No, man. That's a different game.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very simple premise.
Yeah.
You have this launcher that shoots a little marble, and it's kind of like, what's that Price is Right game? Plinko?
Plinko, yeah.
It's kind of like Plinko, and that your goal is to make all the orange pegs disappear within the number of balls or marbles that you have. And you shoot it, and, you know, trigonometry, whatever the fuck it's called, works. Mm-hmm. Things happen.
Physics.
Physics. That's the word I'm looking for. And you basically learn how to play the game within the first time you press the A button.
Yep.
They add some spice to it. It's a fun little adventure game, kind of. So you have like a unicorn, and his special ability, if you hit the green peg, is that he makes an extra line show up that tells you where the ball is going to go after it hits a peg. And so on with multiple other characters that do their own kind of fun little abilities. So, I mean, I loved kind of just playing the game at first. I'd play a couple levels, maybe 20 minutes, and I'd be done.
Yep.
And it's got a place for people that once you master it a little bit, you have an actual like kind of master mode that unlocks at the end.
Master mode.
That has more challenging levels and more things to do, like clear all the pegs and not just the orange pegs. Get a bunch of points. So you kind of can go back through those levels. Like, so me and my wife, Kelsey, would pick a level that we haven't beat yet and be like, let's get all the pegs this time. And so we would do all that, maybe spend 20 minutes or so on it, and we'd move on with our day.
It's kind of like a mixture of pinball meets the old like block game. And what
oh,
I mean by
yeah,
that.
Brick Breaker.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what it's called. Yeah. It's like a mixture of pinball and Brick Breaker, but there's a little bit more strategy to it because, like you said, certain characters that you can choose from have different abilities. So there's a bit more strategy than just a, you know, hitting a few blocks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've watched you play it a few times. And yeah, I mean, that's an easy game to kind of just have a little fun, play a few matches, see what you can do, get further into the game, and go from there.
Yeah.
I agree.
The levels are all designed. Some of them are like in the shape of pumpkins mm-hmm. and, you know, moving pegs. So it's really cool.
Now, all this is based on the premise that you are able to keep yourself from playing more. Obviously, bite-sized games, you probably don't have a lot of time, or you just want to pick up something else afterwards, or you got to be somewhere. Saying that, I think a great bite-sized game, if you don't get too involved in it all at once, is the Mario games.
Yeah, I mean, level-based game.
Level-based games, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, platformers, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that is easy to play a few levels, get past a few levels, and then, okay, yeah, I'm done with the level. I've made it this far. Save. Go do your next thing. Go to work, whatever it might be. Everybody's played Mario.
Yeah.
You better have played Mario if you're listening to this fucking podcast. But it's perfect for just sitting down, having a good laugh or two, you know, if you mm-hmm. become a cat in the Wii U version,
yeah.
which is one of the best versions of Mario.
It's now on the Switch.
Believe it or not. Yeah, it's on the Switch now, too. Or a Tanuki.
Which is a raccoon with big balls.
Correct. It is a raccoon with big balls, actually.
Yeah. I know. I'm not lying.
I
Why would I
not.
Just say that?
Why would I say big ball raccoons are a thing?
Big ball raccoon.
Big ball raccoon. If you don't have a Switch, buy that bitch.
That needs to be our spokesman. Just our fucking saying. I'm going to piggyback off that and say Rayman as well.
Okay.
Is a
Rain
really Rayman.
Rain Man.
Ray. Say Ray.
Ray.
Say Man.
Man.
No, say Rayman.
Rain Man.
I hate you. No, Rayman's the same way, and it's both these games are 4-player co-op, so even if you don't want to kill some time, or maybe you are a parent and your kid's got a concert for band in the next hour. Shit, let's play a level Rayman. Let's go play a level Mario.
Hell yeah.
And then we go to the concert and you fucking fail because you're 6 or something like that. I don't know. But
you have a lot of faith in your future kid now.
Look, man, clarinet's probably not going to do it. Okay,
what do you think she'll play?
Like a saxophone.
Saxophone. Okay, why saxophone?
Because it's the coolest instrument
Just
in the
so
world.
She could do Careless Whisper?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a cool song.
That is a great song on the saxophone.
So anyway, yeah. Platformers. What else you got?
A little game called Tetris.
Tetris, yes. Which, by the way, I guess you said Switch for Mario. Rayman's also on the Switch.
Correct.
Peggle is for sure on both Xbox Ones.
It's Xbox exclusive. So it was, I think it originally came out on the 360.
Peggle 1 did have a PS3 release.
Oh, no shit.
With Plants vs.
Oh, it
Zombies.
Was Peggle 2 that was Xbox exclusive,
yes.
wasn't it? Okay.
You All can right. get Peggle on your phone as well. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
That's
going
fine.
Forward.
Yeah, that's fine. But a little game called Tetris.
Yeah.
I mean,
on everything.
On everything, right?
Yeah.
Phone. And if you add in phone, I believe it's the most selling game of all time.
Really?
I believe so. I believe if you add in the phone version of Tetris and all the other versions of them ever since, it is the highest selling video game of all time. I'm going to have to double check that. But I remember seeing that and being just like dumbfounded with how many people have or have played that game.
Yeah.
Because it's a classic.
Oh, yeah. Most people have played that game.
Of course.
And it's still really fun.
Mm-hmm. For Christ's sakes, they have tournaments. They still have Tetris tournaments every year, and they're huge.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, what was it? I think a 16-year-old kid just won.
Good for him.
I think it was 16. He was 16 years old.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to see these guys play Tetris. You wouldn't think, like, the ability to use a controller the way they use it and as fast as they do is a Tetris thing. But my God, you can't even see what they're doing on the screen.
Right.
Sometimes you're like, wait, whoa, how did you do that? It's kind of insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My goal for this, by the way, was not to try to bring any mobile games because obviously they make those to be like, you know, Cut the Rope and Candy Crush. Those are meant to be like, you know, little levels you do. But I want the gamers to have something. So I'm going to bring a game called Slay the Spire. Have you played this game?
I have not.
Okay. So it's a really cool, I would call it a bite-sized RPG. Essentially, it's kind of like a dungeon crawler in the sense that, you know, you go through a run and you could possibly not go through this run. And you have to start over. But you get this deck of cards, essentially, that are your abilities, and mm-hmm. it becomes a turn-based RPG. And you start off with the most basic class. He's like a knight class. And it's a strategy game. And so you go through the level, the dungeon, so to speak, and you can stop between each level of the dungeon. So there'll be times where I'm like, oh, people aren't online yet. You know, let me do something while I'm waiting. I'll load up Slay the Spire. And it's a fun challenging kind of brain game a little bit, and you can stop pretty much at any point. So you can just, even if you're halfway through one of the levels, you can actually stop midway through the level and go back to it whenever you feel like. And quick learning curve, I think once you kind of have gone through it a few times, you can get really in depth with how you want to build your deck, so to speak. But it's really quick to the point. The animation's really solid. It's kind of like a mixture of Paper Mario and Castle Crashers.
Okay.
Kind of in that
very
vein.
Very cool. All right.
And really fun. Yeah. You should check it out.
I will. Yeah. I like RPGs. I've never been the biggest fan of the deck building RPG type stuff, which is weird because I do like card-based games, even though I don't play Magic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of games I find really fun, being able to build a deck, you know, make it exactly how you want it so you can, you know, fuck over the other guy as best as you can and win as quickly as you can. So yeah, I'll check that out here eventually. I need to open up my horizons when it comes to that.
Yeah, that one's on all the current consoles, so you can play it on anything.
Is that on Game Pass?
It is on Game Pass.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
play it.
Right.
Got Game Pass, got 20 minutes to spend, play it.
Yep. Okay. Obviously, any fighting game.
Yeah.
Any fighting game.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Tekken.
Dragon Ball.
Dude, okay, so I was going to say Dragon Ball FighterZ, right? Or Dragon Ball FighterZ, whatever you want to call it, but it's Dragon Ball FighterZ. Even if you're not an anime fan or a Dragon Ball fan, that game is just a constant action-packed fighting game.
Oh, yeah.
If you have never played it, you have three people on each team, so it's a tag. It's a tag.
Kind of like
fighter.
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Exactly. Kind of like Marvel vs. Capcom. It's a tag fighter. And the combos and everything that you can pull when tagging out and creating these epic super moves in this game, it's just, it's a lot of fun, and it's a constant action-packed thing that you never feel bored with unless you're playing for hours and hours and hours on end. So if you want something to where you can just go in, play, and have a fantastic time, a lot of action packed into a small time frame, I think Dragon Ball FighterZ is one of the best to get you into that. Tekken and Street Fighter, they're great. They're a little bit more tactical in the sense of really learning
the combos
and move sets and like mids range, you know, your close, your mids, your longs, and all that. And which is fine. And that's a lot of fun for a lot of people. But if you're not that big into fighting games like me, Dragon Ball FighterZ is great time.
Coming from a background of lots of fighting games, it's a perfect, like, I'm new. I just kind of want to play something that I can beat a lot of people up in. Arc System is the ones that did the fighting system for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simple XXXXX will get you a really cool looking combo if you land it. And then you can even XXXX circle. So it's not a super over the top down forward X, down back square, you know. It's very straightforward, but also really fun for those that don't want to delve a lot of their time into the training mode
right. And
pull off some really cool looking shit.
Well, and saying that, they have that in there. You can change the controls in that to be more like a Street Fighter or more like a Tekken type gameplay, which is kind of cool. I'm glad they do that. It's completely 2D, so there's no like sidestepping like you can do in Tekken or in Soul Calibur or anything like that. But I think you're right. There is definitely advanced players out there.
Oh, yeah.
It was at Evo for a bit. It's not there anymore, though.
I don't believe so, no.
It was there for a bit, and it was the most, when it was there, it was the most watched tournament, even over Street Fighter, which kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it was a Sonic Fox.
Well, Street Fighter V was kind of shit.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Yeah.
Sonic Fox was big into it. And
he loved it.
Did he win? He might have won, actually.
I can't remember anymore.
So if you don't know who he is, Sonic Fox, legendary fighting game champion, has been doing it for years. Very, very, very good at the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say something controversial now.
Go ahead.
Not a fighting game, an amazing party game, Super Smash Brothers. Really fun. Really great.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing about it is if you and your friends, again, have an hour to kill before a movie, maybe even 30 minutes before a movie, you jump in. Most of the time, you're going to be on even level. But it's a lot of fun even if you aren't, because you can add items, and it's just hit the other person until they fall off the edge. Everybody's tried to copy it. No one's got close. You had PlayStation All-Stars that tried. Now you have this Nickelodeon game, which is having somewhat some success, but nothing's ever going to touch Smash Bros.
It is having somewhat some success. However, it is, in my eyes, every time I see it, it is almost a direct carbon copy.
Yes.
Like, it's got some issues when it comes to controls and balancing from what I've seen. But
Brawlhalla, that was another one.
Oh, yes, Brawlhalla. Mm-hmm. I... I don't play Super Smash Brothers as much anymore because most of my friends are really good at it, and I don't want to take the time to get really good at it, but I used to play the shit out of it as on the N64, the original Super Smash Brothers. That was one of my favorite games. I used to, like, I had the strategy guide, because I would always get the strategy guides with my games back in the day, and I used to draw all the characters and the
Brady Games? Yeah, and who does the...
They do some of them. There's and there's another brand which I can't remember.
They're probably
right
gone
now. Yeah, probably.
They're in our memories now.
Strategy guides don't really exist anymore because the internet.
The internet.
The internet is for porn and strategy guides.
Cheat CC, where you at?
Oh man, the things I used to get off of Cheat CC. That and Mario Kart.
I'm glad you said Mario Kart's on my list.
Oh, is it?
No, that's good. No.
But yeah, Mario Kart, fantastic. Quick game, and Mario Kart settles a lot of bets too, or creates bets.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've lost girlfriends from Mario Kart. No, I'm just joking. I didn't.
You can't see me over the mic, but I gave him the like, what?
No,
like,
I lost GameCube games though for sure.
Oh, you did.
Oh yeah.
Double Dash?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't bet the game I'm playing.
No, I know. I'm just saying that's what you.
Oh yeah, Double Dash.
What did you lose?
I lost Sonic Adventure to that game.
Oh,
I was gonna get
Metal Gear's good Sonic game.
Yes, I was gonna get Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes if I had won.
A great Metal Gear game. Yeah.
So if my cousin's listening, I'd love that game back someday. But anyway,
I'm fucking calling you out. Another Mario Kart right now, brother.
But yeah, I mean, even just like a circuit. Four races, get it done in like 30 minutes, 35 mm-hmm. minutes. Great family game too.
Yeah, very much so.
Good before bedtime game. Before bedtime. But I'm happy you didn't get to this one yet, because we both love this game. Katamari Damacy.
Oh, shit.
An amazing
yes.
game.
Yes.
If you want some hilarity and some weird music, and the only goal is to roll shit up in a ball, fucking amazing.
Katamari. I remember when that came out. Katamari Damacy. I know that's a weird word. If you've never heard of that game, or if you're listening in, it originally came out on the PS2 back in like 2004.
Long ass time.
2003, 2004 time frame.
Yeah.
2004, because I was working at GameStop the first time when it first came out. And I saw it on the shelf, and my boss was like, bro, this game is amazing. And I'm looking at him like, what the fuck is this game, you know? And here I am coming off of Halo and like...
Ultra
you know,
dude bro
like,
game.
Yeah, dude bro games and everything. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, just try it out. Take it home, try it out.
So bizarre.
And my God, I got addicted to this fucking game. And since then, have played every single Katamari game, which is like 8 of them.
Yes.
That has come out since.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a little alien, and your father is this giant alien, king of the cosmos. And basically, him and his the universe is starting to like lose things and lose planets. Like they've been wiped out by the king on accident. So as the prince, you're tiny. You're like the size of a pin.
Yeah.
You get the sticky ball called a katamari.
Only Japan.
Right. And you start off and you're tiny and you have to roll up tiny things like pins or, you know, little coins,
dust balls, mice.
And then as you keep going through the game, you get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger where eventually you're literally rolling up like the universe.
Buildings and then the worlds
and everything. It is stupid fun.
And hilarious.
And hilarious. How many minutes does like each round take depending?
4 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll get an 8-minute level.
I know the later levels are like 20-minute levels.
True, which is still...
But yeah, still, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's within that...
And there's not really... You don't get better, really, at the game. You just kind of know where to go eventually. So it's not like, you know, I'm super skillful. I'm going to roll more shit up. You're just like, oh, yeah, I picked up this thing, and it helped me pick other things up, so I'm going to go there now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole basis of the game. And then it's kind of like a Where's Waldo kind of, because they have, like, these goofy versions of, like, real people or mm-hmm. iconic figures. So sometimes you're rolling up Godzilla or you're rolling up Moby Dick, and it's really – or I guess what's the guy that hunts Moby Dick?
Moby Ishmael?
Dick's, yeah, Moby Dick's the whale. I get
Call
that
me
wrong.
Ishmael?
I get that wrong every time.
Is that his name? I don't know. If
yeah, I think
name.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, it's fucking hilarious and mm-hmm. fun and quick. You know, even if you want to play 3 levels, that's like probably 20 minutes of your time. And then you can forget it for years and go back and like, oh, yeah, this game's hilarious.
One of the best words I can describe that game is charming.
Very charming.
It's an extremely charming game. The music is charming. It's weird. And when you first hear it, you're going to be like, what? But it's like, you just... Just let it encapsulate you. Just do it.
Just like you're encapsulating all the little shit in your little ball. and you're all rolled up in it.
Oh, that's a good one, man. I'm glad you came up with that.
Yeah, I liked that game.
If you're like me, though, I will say, if you're like me, almost any game could be a bite-sized game. And what I mean by that is I actually did this the other day. I'm playing Far Cry 6 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before work, and I just had the urge. I was like, I'm going to play a mission or two. And I played two missions, and it was about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And I went to work.
I think it depends on the game. Open world games, doable.
Yes. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I see what you're...
Once you get to like the point after you're like, this is the character. He's the hero of bullshit. And then you're like, okay, now I can go and just kill stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Far Cry's got a good amount of like, I'm going to go do this, what do they call that with the trucks? You like capture trucks and bring them back.
Yes.
You can do like these little side missions that take most of the time 5 to 6 minutes and at least boost your character. So when you're ready to, you know, spend an hour and a half to dedicate to the story, you've done a lot of that little shit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
I don't know. I understand the need, like why people look at a game like that. Or Horizon, or God of War. Actually, you need time for that. Yeah, God
There's
of War.
A few
you
things
need
you're
time
like,
for that.
I can't stop here.
Yeah. But I get why people look at that and they're like, I can't sit there and only play that for 20 minutes.
Story based games would be difficult for me. Like Last of Us, I don't think you could just play a 20 minute section of the game.
I agree.
You get to one cutscene and be like, well, that was fun. I'm done.
Yeah.
So, the last game I have on my list is something I have a tumultuous relationship with. It's Trials.
Oh, yes. Trials? I remember Trials.
They've made several versions of this game, but the premise is, I feel like it's taken from an old Flash game. I feel like I played this back way in the day, like at school. But you have to balance your motorcycle. So it's a 2D plane, and you have to balance the motorcycle so you don't fall off the motorcycle. And you're going through this obstacle course, essentially. But it's fucking difficult.
It is. It's so very difficult. Yes.
At first, it's really, really fun because the levels are easier and you just kind of, you're pressing the R trigger and you're zooming and you adjust your character so he doesn't fall and you can do flips and tricks. And then by like the fourth or fifth world, you have to be dedicated. But if you're dedicated, it's a really good payoff. So I have spent about 30 minutes on one level to get about halfway through the level.
Yeah.
So that I can then later, next time I play, beat the level. But
I haven't thought of Trials in a while, man. That's okay.
But it's something that I feel if you want that kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna kind of like with me with Peggle, I'm just gonna try to beat this level today. If I don't beat it within 30 minutes, I'm gonna do something else.
Yep.
But it's pretty fun and it's goofy as well. The main character ragdolls as soon as you crash, and so like sometimes funny things can happen to them, get like speared or fall into like an explosive and he makes like these funny noises. But they've gotten a little more easier to play. The newest one I think was Trials Fusion, and they even did Trials of the Blood Dragon, which actually had a story mode that was tied into Far Cry.
Was it really? I didn't know that. Actually,
Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, you play as the kids of Rico.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you play as the twins of Rico, and it's fucking amazing.
Oh my god.
So it actually introduced a story mode.
Check that out.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
And they even added some multiplayer modes to the newer ones as well. More than just motocross, it was like ATV stuff as well. But it's a fun little game that I didn't think I would enjoy myself playing, but as soon as I started playing it, my roommate at the time would see me for 30 minutes trying to beat a level, and every time I crashed, perfect. And I wanted to kill him.
I remember being there for one of those nights. But when something happens so much, it's infuriating, but then it ends up being funny, and you just can't stop fucking laughing. And then it got annoying again, and then it made its full circle back to fucking hilarious again.
Like
we were dying.
Retry 100, perfect. Oh my fucking god!
Yeah. My last one is one I haven't played in a long time. Burnout.
Yeah, Burnout, man.
Yeah, Burnout. Especially Burnout Takedown and Burnout Revenge.
My two favorites.
Yes, my two favorites. Revenge is my favorite. Paradise is great. That's a little bit... you probably could still do a few things from Burnout Paradise within that time frame.
What makes 3, I think, and Revenge better is that you just pick the race or you pick the crash and you're there.
Yep.
Whereas with Paradise, you have to, you know, obviously, well, you meant obviously, you've never played it. It's more open world, so you have to drive to the event.
What was your favorite mode in Burnout Revenge or Takedown? I have one easy.
It's got to be the crash mode.
Yes, the crash mode. 100%.
The crash mode was beautiful and... The fact that you slowed down time and controlled gravity, so your car was like veering left, and I remember like forcing the controller to go right. Like, if I run into this explosive, the whole bridge explodes, and I'm going to get the most points.
Yep.
Oh, man. Crashes were the best.
Burnout, Revenge, and Takedown were these racing games. So if you're not a racing game fan, because I'm not a huge racing game fan, I don't mind them. They're fun. Forza, Forza Horizon. I've even played some Gran Turismo in my day. Need for Speeds. Burnout was a game where the whole premise of it was, yeah, you're in races, you're doing stuff, but you want to ram into the other guy and cause as much damage as possible. And that's what made it so fun. And every time you caused an insane crash or something, there would be this slow motion, cinematic view of the explosion and stuff. And it was just the funnest thing, especially when you were playing against friends. But there was a mode called, I don't know if it was called Crash Mode or not.
I think it was called I think it was Crash Mode.
Okay.
I believe
there was a mode, and this was my favorite, and apparently Jesse's. You start off. You could pick whatever car you've unlocked. You start off at the top of a hill or at the beginning of a track, and the whole purpose was to drive down into oncoming traffic, and you wanted to, within a time limit or before you stopped moving, cause as much damage as possible.
Oh yeah.
And it would, as soon as you crashed, it would start to slow down in that slow motion, but you could control your car still in the air to make it go from side to side or something.
Yes.
You could cause more explosions, and depending on your score, you would get, you know, bronze, silver, or gold.
Yeah.
Just a blast. I still remember...
A blast. Explosion of fun.
Fuck you. I remember playing that on my Xbox, my original Xbox. And I loved playing that because, and we were talking about this the other night, you could burn your CDs onto your Xbox and you could just play them. There was in-game or your in-game soundtrack. So instead of playing the soundtrack from the game, you could play all the burned CDs that you had on your Xbox.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what we would do. We would play Burnout Revenge all night or Halo. And we would be playing our music, and it was just a great time.
Yeah. That's a good one to end on. That's a great game, which is gonna, that would be on Xbox One, technically.
Yes, technically.
Most of the games we mentioned are, like, Katamari is on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Mario Kart's on Switch. Trials is on both consoles.
Correct.
But yeah, that one I think you probably would only, at this point, if you have a current gen, I'm not gonna include the new consoles as part of that.
Right.
Then I think Xbox might be the only way to play Burnout 3 and Revenge.
Yeah, 3 and Revenge, yeah. Paradise
is on both.
On
both PS4 and Xbox One.
Correct. And then Katamari, by the way, the remaster of it, Katamari Reroll.
Yeah.
That is free on Game Pass right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fucking play that game.
Hell yeah.
Download it.
It's great. It's great. Well, I think that's it we have for tonight. It was a bite-sized episode for bite-sized gaming.
Yeah.
So, Jesse, take us out, man.
Look, like us, subscribe, tell us what you want to tell us on our Facebook. We would appreciate it. Also, join the streams. We stream every Wednesday. We've been obsessed with Apex. New map, new legend, so obviously we're going to play a lot of that still. But, yeah, give us some topic ideas. Keep talking to us. Tell us what you want. Extra Life, we're going to attempt, I think, pretty soon here, so look out for that. Any donations, you know, obviously go to a good cause. We had a lot of fun last year. Hopefully at least we can get close to that this year. It's gonna be a little different, but yeah. Thanks for listening. This is the Digital Bath Podcast, signing out.
Love you.